hang the phone up, I need to go on the internet. How many times have I told you to get a new line? Or use your mobile? Don't you remember what happened to my last mobile? The radiator's still discoloured to this day. You never repair anything! I need to get some builders in to sort out the condition of your room. Which room? Are you still on that internet? Yes, and I always will be. Has that got something to do with those 400-point phone calls that I keep getting in every quarterly phone bill? There are more calls to the internet than there are phone bills in Baghdad. That's because we've still got dial-up. I need to have a permanent connection. Broadband is outlawed in Iraq, so the exchange hasn't been upgraded, even though the palace is the only place with permission to install broadband. You and your laws! Do you just make them up as you go along? You are almost literally right. At the end of each day, I write what I call my law diaries, outlining what laws are going to be broken during the next day. New laws are introduced at 12 noon, but you can be prosecuted for infringement from 9 a.m. So many people plead ignorance. Once, when I needed some criminal example, I decreed it illegal to speak the word and in court. Let's just say that the jury were on permanent jury service. Very was illegal for people as old as you to live with your mothers. No, you're living with me. This is my palace and I make the rules. No, you break the rules. Furthermore, I'm holding another world summit on the landing tomorrow. I've moved the TV in readiness. You'll find it on the landing.
The widescreen on the landing? You fucking moron! It's got no aerial! Where's it supposed to get its pictures from? Thin air! The bill's on in a minute! You put my viewing in jeopardy, son!
You'll be looking at the offices through indistinguishable grain, so like it or stuff it.
Do something about it, son!
Well, there is one thing I can do.
3 minutes later...
Have you been on that roof? I heard banging and clanging, and the path outside has got tiles it didn't have before.
I've done something about the problem, you ungrateful old hag.
Done something about it? When have you ever gotten off your lazy ass to do anything? I told you once to bring a dish down from your room that had uneaten bits of curry and gravy that had been on your bedroom floor for a month. Did you ever bring it down?
No, I turned it upside down on the floor. I'm a powerful world leader, for God's sake. I don't do petty chores about the house. I wouldn't touch a plate that I was not eating off. I wouldn't do the last dishes on earth after emerging from a restaurant in the post-apocalypse. I feel so strongly about this rule of mine that once I finish eating, I usually let go of the plate.
That's why I got the decorators to install black carpets, but you turned most of them brown.
I usually paint over them in black again.
And then you often forget that you painted the carpets and tread black paint all round the palace.
Anyway, the landing widescreen has now got an aerial, because if I couldn't bring the TV to Mohammed, I could bring Mohammed to the TV.
Where the fuck's the aerial?
I got the aerial snapped down off the chimney, and I've stuck it between the stair banisters. It gives an average picture.
You fucking imbecile! Tiles are raining down on my patio for this! Not to mention that you brought parts of a chimney down onto the conservatory roof. There used to be tables and chairs that cost in excess of 10,000 points in there. Now they're just a fine layer of dust.
On the landing.
These banisters were only painted last year, son. And you've scraped the paint right off with that aerial. And defaced the wallpaper behind it.
Well, I think...
Go to your room!
Which one?
Stay in all 127 of them. Just don't go into a room that's not yours.
I can't hold the meeting in a bedroom. What if the guests and dignitaries had mud on their shoes? They would trudge it up the stairs and across the landing. Not merely across the hall into the living room.
You're holding that meeting up there. I'm not having my marble living room scraped across with 1,000 shoes. The hall is nearly a quarter of a mile long and is made partly out of marble. I'm not sure I like these parties, son. I'm not cleaning up after any guests to make sure they don't bring any dog shit in.
Well, I used to scrape it off on one of the statues along the hall. I found once that someone had stepped in camel shit in downtown Baghdad and scraped it off in a pitcher in the hallway once.
But the desert is usually dry. It hardly ever rains. Michael Fish is usually forced to present the same weather forecast every night.
The forecast is the same tape every day until there's a monsoon, when usually Michael Fish is forced to present it live on location. The mud might be caked on, except in a monsoon, then Iraq almost turns into a moving pile of slush.
And you used to bring it in daily during the monsoon? You would sit in one of the chairs in the living room suite with your coat caked in cack. Enough of this inane yap. Guests will arrive at 7 p.m. Who on earth are we expecting? Most of your friends from other countries are dead. Members of the Bath Party are ruling in their stead. They will be present at the meeting.
Later at 7 p.m.
It must be the members of my World Summit. Welcome, Mr. Dodd. Proceed to the hall.
Where shall I put my coat?
Keep it on. Osama, long time no see.
I felt like an invisible man ever since that Twin Towers incident. I don't feel comfortable around here. I usually hold my meetings in a deep cave. I usually tape the proceedings and make a bit of extra money selling it to CNN.
Don't mention that around here. Even to say CNN is an imprisonable offence, let alone receiving it on satellite. So without you being known on the streets of Baghdad, they would probably just think you were homeless, as most citizens of the city now are.
Even Kabul is in better condition than Baghdad these days.
Baghdad is just a city. The central point of a population is to serve the leader. Too much time was wasted on the population by many of the world's past leaders. The secret to a great empire is impression. I've got this population working like a fine-tooth comb. If anyone steps out of line, there's always the secret police. Failing that, there's also always army conscription. Who is it? I can't be bothered to come to the door. He says that he's former President Bush.
Pleased to meet you, Saddam. I am the former president of the United States of America, immediately before the term of President Clinton. I bought gifts in your honor, as I heard of your Clinton's fate.
Well, thank you. Just a note, though. It is now the USI, and it was only your conservative views that led me to pardon you when allocating former members of power to slavery and servitude. Previous Democrat presidents have all now died of exhaustion. It is only thanks to my sympathy with some of your more right-wing views that you're not erecting lines of statues along freeways across the USI. Like one president such as Ford that I could mention.
Oh, I am most grateful for your mercy. Also, meet my son who also goes the name of George Bush.
Ha. How you doing? I have no interest in meeting you.
It's Vulcan! How many more people are you expecting, Saddam? You better be telling them to brush their feet. And won't be responsible for my actions?
I didn't know this was a meeting so big. Who the fuck are these people?
They are former presidents and people in former positions of power. This is Vulcan Raven. He is this empire's chief intelligence officer and is also employed tonight as the bouncer of this world summit. If any of you gathered here tonight start to speak of views of which I consider controversial, you will get an initial thumbs down from me. And the next thing you'll remember is hitting the Baghdad pavement as Vulcan physically kicks you out of the back door. Okay, I'm now starting the meeting. We have many things to discuss. Is everyone not present? Who are you?
Sorry, we are the secret police.
Then why are you wearing a red uniform?
As a deterrent to any would-be members of the population who might be broken into and arrested in the middle of the night.
Even I have been arrested once or twice by the secret police while resident in Baghdad. Once I was arrested and was took somewhere secretly. I managed to escape using one of my inventions, but the taxi back to Baghdad cost 2,000 points.
In meetings, Dodd, you are to be seen and not heard. Just take notes or I'll be forced to put you in solitary confinement in Baghdad police station again.
Yes, sir.
Come in. Come in, ladies and gentlemen. These are members of the Bath Party. They are central to the running of the regime from central Baghdad. This is Al-Qasr, Chief Offensive Minister, in charge of the deployment and testing of weapons of mass destruction after Mr. Dodd has been forced to make them. Welcome also, Halla. He has been installed as controller of the USI, and also several other members are present. Jada, Salamia and Gada, in charge of health, education and social security. They, unlike the other members, only have part-time jobs and a budget of 10 points a year. I have much to discuss, so let's proceed with the meeting. The Iraqi Empire has grown thick and fast. It was built after a conquering so fast that it would have made even the Nazis gawp in awe. The detonation of nuclear weapons in some countries meant that there was nothing left to conquer. However, the threat of detonation after the devastation that will render certain parts of the planet uninhabitable for over 100,000 years was enough to make the domination of any remaining countries rapid and assured.
Some of the former rulers from countries such as the USI, Australia and Britirak are here tonight. All nations of this earth are a part of what was once a smaller Arabic country, whose wealth was based on its oil reserves. And that is, of course, Iraq. Only Antarctica remains neutral. Recently, not only the moon was safe, as the Empire began its program of space exploration. Of course, we landed on the moon and claimed it for the Iraq Empire. But soon afterwards, there wasn't much to explore, unless you want to land on one of the numerous obliterated moon pieces that are circling the planet as asteroids.
Can I just interrupt you there?
Neil Armstrong, I didn't know you were present at this meeting.
Those pieces are dangerous to the survival of the human race as a species. One of the 1,000 pieces of moon hovering around above the Earth occasionally enter the Earth's atmosphere and take out small villages and towns. So far, we have seen only relatively small pieces land, say 1/4 mile across. Numerous smaller pieces that are several meters in diameter are landing every day and causing extensive damage. But if one of the bigger pieces were to fall, could turn a city the size of Baghdad into a crater. If a piece of that size were to land in the ocean, it could cause the greatest tsunami in the history of the Earth and turn life on Earth into history.
He is right, sir. After we blew up the moon, the survival of mankind on this planet has been questionable. Every day that goes by now without an asteroid impact should not be taken for granted, because the odds of asteroid impact are now 10 million times greater than they were before. I've done calculations, and there is a 1 in 1.5 chance of impact. All this asteroid activity hasn't been very beneficial for the environment. Of course, the environment's cocked up anyway. Daylight has been blocked in the western section of Basra for days now, thanks to an overhead asteroid that's been blocking the sky. It should be passing over Iran. Of course, it's getting closer and closer to the Earth, so it will be more than a mere menace.
Mr. Dodd, will you please step down? This is not a meeting about the environment. This is a meeting about world affairs.
You should pay some attention to this matter, sir. If we do not do something about the situation that currently exists on the Earth, there won't be one.
Now that's enough. This is beginning to become insolence, so step down immediately.
He'll be stepping down now, sir.
Let go of my arm.
Now with Mr. Dodd yanked off stage, on with the meeting. Why should we worry about this Earth when there is a likelihood that there is an infinite amount of them out there in space? And this is what I have gathered you here for today. I am beginning to be forced to consider starting a space colony. A group of captured ex-NASA personnel have been working on a brand new space agency, the ISA. The Iraqi Space Agency and our first mission will take place in the morrow.
May I slightly butt in?
Well, can't you see this is an important meeting, Armstrong?
Yes, sir, but this is sheer madness. The nearest inhabitable planet to planet Earth is likely to be at least 4.5 light years away. And that is only if the nearest star has an equivalent to planet Earth, which in itself is a chance of 1 in several billion.
The ISA, which Mr. Dodd will be forced to head, already has spaceships capable of travelling the speed of light.
But how are you going to provide the citizens with enough food, water and oxygen to last 5 years? What are you going to do? Put 5,000 branches of Tesco on board?
Keep your thoughts to yourself. You're affecting the morale of this meeting. Of course, we are not going to be able to take the citizens to this colony. If this planet becomes desolate, it is simple. Only the leaders will go.
Does that include me?
Yes, Armstrong, but only if you fail to utter more than a single sentence more during this meeting.
I have a point to make, but the Taliban's religion dictates that the universe doesn't exist, and that the Earth is flat and unending. Therefore, I refuse to believe in what you are proposing.
You've got a thing about this Taliban, haven't you? One of my first memories of this crazy life is when you and I were in nursery together. Your first word was Taliban. Right after that, you pissed your pants.
I do not wish to associate with those who would undermine my beliefs. Living on a space colony would be like living somewhere that doesn't exist.
I wouldn't worry too much about this proposal yet. It is only when the Earth is finally rendered uninhabitable by too many asteroid impacts that we'll be forced to abdicate this planet.
Can I plug this Hoover in? Lift your feet up! I need to get the Hoover through there!
This is a world summit.
You've been eating bread without a plate again, haven't you? There's crumbs all down the corridor!
Yes, well, when I get peckish in the middle of the night,
and the light bulb's blown in the kitchen. I usually can't see what I'm doing when I'm cutting the bread. Is that why I saw you slicing bread over the cooker? Yes, it was too dark to find the plate. Is that why I found jam and bread marks all over the floor? From where it fell, I slipped and heavily bruised my knee. I had to go to A&E, but there wasn't one, and the cooker was left on throughout the night. What's the point? Get a plate, you unkempt piece of shit! And so should all these guests. Why are they eating off their knees? Okay. You've snapped the picture down? Well, it catches the crumbs, doesn't it? Now for the rest of the meeting, get lost. I'm sorry to inform you that this meeting will have to come to an abrupt end. I have decided on the creation of an Iraqi space agency to explore the possibility of a possible space colony for the Iraqi Empire, should the need ever arise to vacate this planet. There will only be room on board for leaders, important dignitaries, and secret workers. Health and social workers should be left behind. I am sorry to inform you of this, sir, but I have spent most of this meeting looking wistfully out the window. But in the last 5 minutes, all I've seen is an asteroid. But I thought that was going to hit Basra. I wouldn't have had to pay the citizens' benefits. No, unfortunately, that same asteroid that was over the skies of Basra is now floating eastwards towards Baghdad, and as a result there will be even less of it than there was before, including this palace, as the asteroid piece is at least a quarter of a mile long. We need to vacate this palace.
An emergency has arisen. We have to leave immediately. Mr. Dodd has just discovered an asteroid the size of a town hall is on a collision course with this palace. Now members of the Bath Party and other attendees and everyone else line up at the end of the staircase and stand on a step on the stairs.
Are you sure this will be safe?
Well, don't question your holy world leader. Chop, chop. That's it. Each of you stand on a step and wait.
Why can't we leave by the front door? Because I have back problems.
Unless you want to be encrusted into this palace's rubble in a matter of less than a minute, then just exit by the front door.
Stand there and don't move. Anyone that moves will be forced to leave by the window.
The secret police will take care of anyone that doesn't cooperate. Now everyone, stand still.
Saddam pulled a chain above his head, and the staircase steps turned into a downward slope with a trap door at the end of it. One by one, the guests slid down the resulting slope through a trapdoor that was marked outside. After this, there was a long period of darkness.
Oh, my head! Where am I? Is this my cave? But it doesn't have satellite TV, so it can't be.
I hope you all landed safely.
Well, I didn't. I need to go to A&E.
Well, you can't. This is a secret emergency underground bunker located 2 miles underneath the Iraqi desert. It has so far only been used in the case of natural disasters such as nuclear holocausts, and in this case, an asteroid impact. The distant explosions, rumblings and muffled screaming you can hear above us is a result of widespread panic, because an asteroid impact is now taking the palace and some quarters of Baghdad out.
I remember this place from somewhere before. It was like that night with the secret police.
Don't lean on those red buttons. Stop playing with your mobile.
Butterfingers.
Well, Basra might as well have been hit with an asteroid now.
I was from Basra.
Well, you're not anymore.
What the hell are we supposed to do now? What about the palace?
The palace was a big place. Big enough for at least half of it to withstand an asteroid impact. I just hope that it's the half that would be favourable.
What about food and water?
There is an underground Asda under here, which is open 24 hours. We'll be its first customers in months.
After several days down in the bunker, after which a red button was once again accidentally pressed as Vulcan leant on it with his sleeping bag, causing the 10% of what remained of the Amazonian rainforest to be permanently wiped out, the guests emerged and prepared to return to the surface.
Now this will be the equivalent of a mineshaft. Except with champagne, the same champagne I drank with every nation's annexion. The dust cloud should be starting to settle down above, and we will attempt to return to the city to see if there's anything left. If there's anything left of the airport, you will be able to make preparations to return to your prospective lands. Now we will attempt to go back up to the Iraqi surface.
The guests emerged in the desert behind the palace. One had his jacket ripped by a cactus. After shaking the sand and bits of rubbish out of their pants, they dispersed to find taxis and limousines in downtown Baghdad. Some needed to go to accident and emergency as a result of broken bones, but found out that there wasn't one, because it had closed down in the latest round of bath party budget cuts.